anybody on Zoom?
Okay, Rabbi Isai. Before we want to greet Reb Shlomo, you may have to leave early because it's Erev Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael. I care.
I'll stay out for a while. I apologize.
I hope you can stay on as long as possible, and you should have an easy tannis and a gitke ben shtyur. Same thing, David. A gitke ben shtyur. Gmach sima tzayva to you and the whole family. Thank you. Amen. So we are Daf Tes Zvav, and we're holding 7-8 lines from the top of the Amid where it says Avaloi Sandal HaMesumar. What is this referring to? We go back to the Mishnah on Yud Dalet Amid Beis, and it said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to go and send presents to other people on Yontif if they can have usage and utility. Pashup Shat, usage and utility on Yontif. Although we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So among the things that you're allowed to send, said the Mishnah, are... That was the previous Mishnah. This Mishnah is talking about sending begodim, going and sending items of clothing. So the Mishnah said you can send clothing which is already nicely sewn, and even those things which are not sewn together, you can use it for a cover. But you cannot send a sandal hamesumar. Sandal hamesumar means shoes that have spikes, yes, that have nails on the bottom. What's the reason why? Says Gemara Sandal Masumar, my time. Now our Gemara doesn't quote the Masa Shehoyim, but you all recall, we learned it back in Masechta Shabbos, that there was a period of time that the Jews were hiding from the local enemies, and they went and hid themselves in a cave. And there was a shmua, people thought that the enemy is coming to attack them, and they immediately ran for the hills, they ran out of the cave, and unfortunately they trampled a few people that fell to the ground, and they trampled over them, Rahman al-Islam, because of the fact that these sandalim had on the bottom these heavy-duty nails, unfortunately many people passed away. Because of that, they made a gzeira that people should not wear sandal hamesumar on Shabbos or Yontif. What's up for Shabbos or Yontif? Says the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, because the story took place on Shabbos, and Shabbos and Yontif are basically the same, and so therefore the Gzeira was only on Shabbos or Yontif, and Maisa Shehoyer. The whole reason why they made this law, this Isur, is because of the Maisa Shehoyer, so Ken Maisa Shehoyer. So, because on Yontif we don't wear the sandal of Masumar, that's why don't send it as a present. Omer Abaye. So Abaye says, Sandal Masumar, also le naloi, Yitaka nalara weird on Shabbos and Yontif, but umutale taltala, but you are allowed to move it around on Shabbos or Yontif. Why are you allowed to go and move it around? Says Rashi, the klihu, it's still a kli, and you can move it, say the Mefarshim, il letzorech gufoi or letzorech mekoimai. Letzorech gufoi would mean, what happens if you need the Sandal Masumar, for instance, to go and bang something, or to put it under kroy hamita, to go and support a bed. In other words, use it for a kosher, permissible purpose. Good. It's like any type of klisha, malachdali iser, that you can go and use it with dvar haheter. And therefore, for those purposes, you're allowed to be metaklet. Says the Gemara, explains the bayit. Lenaloi mishamas v'shoyer. Zagi bench, have a good kibench to you. Thanks for visiting us. Great to see you. To go and put it on, you're not allowed to put it on because of the Masa Shehoyer that we just said. You can't wear it on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but you are allowed to go and move it around as necessary. How do I know? Since it says in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to send it as a present. If you're going to tell me that you're not allowed to even go and move it, if you're not allowed to even move it, then of course you can't go and send it. By definition, if you are sending a present, you're sending an item to someone else, obviously you got to move it from your place to somebody else's place. So the fact that it says, Mishalchin is a simon, Mishalchin is taka osir, but tiltol is much. And the Mishnah says, V'lay mino she'ena tofer, don't send as a present a shoe that is not sewn together with stitches. Obviously the shoe won't fit because it's useless. You wear the shoe, it's going to fall off. What type of shoe is that? We're talking about there's a temporary fix, which may or may last for 5 minutes or for 5 hours or for perhaps a day or two. What are sichi? Rashi has two pshatim. Either it means yesedois ketanei shel eitz, little wooden pegs, which I guess they attach here and there. And Vyesh Omrim says Rashi is a 2 or 3 lines higher than our Gemara. Vyesh Omrim Toifer Shtei Tefirois Ben Tzoy Ushtayim Berosh Ushtayim Bakovoy. They make 2 stitches in the front and 2 in the back and 2 on the side. In other words, a temporary fix. Even that, says our Mishnah, don't send it, because since it's not going to have long-term utility, for all I know, it may not even last for more than 5 or 10 minutes if it has these wooden pegs or these couple of stitches here and there. So, don't send it on Yantif. Yudahimer Afli Minalofen. Also, don't go and send a white shoe. The reason why you couldn't wear a white shoe, Rashi said in the Mishnah, because the minhag was that people didn't wear white shoes. They only wore dark shoes, black shoes. It says Yimar Tanya Yudah Matir Bishachar Va'oiser Belovan. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to send black shoes because you can wear black shoes. We'll soon see in the Gemara what's the chiddush. I mean, black shoes, so what's the problem? Of course. But he prohibits sending lovin. They should tzorach bitzas hagir. What is bitzas hagir? Rashi says gir is a type of karka hamashcher. In other words, this is a natural type of coloring that you get, a dark coloring, a black coloring that you get from the soil. What means beitzas? Rashi says beitzas means kol dovra haniloish benasa of. Anything that you go and make into a dough and you let it stand until it gets thick and hard, that's the type of thing that they use to go and apply to the white shoes to make them black. Because you couldn't just take some soil and throw it. You had to go and take the sand, the soil, mix it presumably with water, let it stand a little bit, and then you can use it as a paste on top of your shoes to go and make them black. So that's the reason why they're also, because you have no utility, you can't use them when they're white. Even black, because you have to go and smooth it out. What is Rabbi Yossi referring to? So Rashi explains that in Rabbi Yossi's town, as the Gemara is going to explain in another moment, in the place where he lived, well, let's step back the other way around. When you make shoes out of leather, you take the hide of the animal. You take the skin of the animal. The skin of the animal has 2 sides. You have the outside, which is the mokma oir, where it's the leather side, that's the hide side, the outside. And then you have the mokma basar, which is the inside, right? So the hide of the animal, the skin is on top of the animal. So the inner side, the lower level, lower layer, inside layer, that's the basar. And the top layer, that happens to be the outside skin of the animal. Now, if you look at animals and you feel their outside, they are normally smooth. However, the inside of the animal, meaning the meat side, is very often not smooth.
Of course.
It's coarse, right? Rashi says in particular, the derech mokum basa liyos by merotim uklipois klipois. Inside the animal, and perhaps also on the inner side of the hide, there are all different types of little crevices and little cracks and little layers and clickboys and fields and stuff like that.
I didn't understand the chat, right,
that means
you have to blacken it. It's posher. The reason is that the shoe is not usable white because it has to be blackened.
Right.
So what do I need shatzorah bitzarah here?
Rabbi Yehuda is, if you will, showing off his knowledge how you blacken shoes. You can't just blacken shoes by going and putting on some magic marker or even using regular shoe polish. You have to use a professional shoe paste. How do you manufacture that shoe paste? By taking a particular type of earth that emits this dark color. You go and mix it, presumably with water, maybe other chemicals. You let it stand until it becomes like a thick paste, and then you apply it to the shoe, and then it becomes...
Even
bright.
Without it, the soyveya is also... So why do I need the time of shetorah bitzatzagia? Even if it's ready, even it's already mixed...
You're asking why is Rabbi Yehuda have to go into this discussion?
It's also benkach.
No, that's
even
for sure.
Even if you mixed it, prepared the chemical... Everything is fine. You're still also because of the issue of Taiveya.
Okay. You're asking a good question. I think the answer to your question will be answered in another couple of minutes, because the Gemara is going to change the pshat in the Mishnah shortly. That you're allowed to go and send a present to someone else, even if you cannot use it today on Yontif, as long as it's usable on Chol. So this is not a dead item. This is a live item that you can use. I may not be able to use it today, but I'll be able to go and use it tomorrow. Then you're allowed to go and send it to your friend. That's what Gemara is going to say in another few lines. If that's the case, it could be that the Gemara is saying is that when would I say that a shoe, if you sent it to somebody else, you could use it on choil if it's almost ready. All you have to do is do a little, put a shoe polish on, you can put it on. Here he's saying that this is a long process. Don't think all you have to do is schmear on black, oh, presto, it's done. You have to go make a ganze beis agir, which presuming you have to let it stand probably for 24 hours so it shouldn't wear off and it shouldn't schmear.
Wouldn't there be a chana if you're studying something on Yontif that you can't...
So wait, I only brought this now because to answer his question. So mention we're going to get to this in another couple of minutes. So I think that may be the reason beis agir, to go and indicate that it's far from the point of utility. You can't use it yet. You still got to wait. But getting to the point of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, "Neishet zorch le tzachzachai." This tzachzachai doesn't mean to polish. Tzachzachai means to smooth out. And Rashi points out, as we'll see in another moment, that in Rabbi Yossi's town, they used to go and manufacture the shoes differently than what we're used to. Instead of putting the outer part of the skin to the outside and the busser part to the inside, they reversed it. Since they reversed it, then the busser part, which was on the outside, had little cracks in it. And therefore, it's passage. You can't wear a shoe like that with cracks, especially if it's a brand new shoe. So you have to first go and smoothen it out. And that's why Rabbi Yossi said, these shoes, which even though they're black, they're still not ro'i to wear. And therefore, Vaita, don't send those either. Rabbi Yossi says, oyser b'shoch. But Rabbi Yehuda was matir b'shoch. Says, there's really no machloikis over here. Marki asrei. Be asrei, the mar bisra letachas. In the place where Rabbi Yehuda lived, the basar was, the basar side of the leather was taka on the underside. So therefore, you don't have to go and smoothen it out on the inside. It's still comfortable, even if there are slight peels and stuff, whatever, if it's not even inside, but it doesn't look, but it looks beautiful from the outside. So therefore, you're allowed to go and send shochar. Be'asher demar. However, in the town of Rabbi Yossi, it's the other way around. Since Bisra Liel, they put the buster side on the top, and therefore there are these little cracks in it, and it doesn't look so appealing. Therefore, you have to go and first smoothen it out, and then you can use it. And that's why, until that point, it's usher to go and send. So now the Mishnah continues on. Zeh klal. What's the general rule? Kol shnei oisim by beyond of anything that you can go and use. Have hano on yontif. You're allowed to go and send. So the poshup shot means that you can use it on yontif. Says Yimar Rav Sheish shor l'rabban. He permitted the rabban lishdurei tefillin be yom tovah to go and send tefillin from one person to the other on yontif. I don't understand. And we all know that you don't wear tefillin on yontif. So what utility does yontif have? Of tefillin have on yontif? Why are you allowing him to go and send it? Every mar hachi comment. If it has utility on choil, so that person will be able to use it after yontif, then you can go and send them a present on yontif. What does that mean? If the item didn't have any utility at all, then a person would say, what can I do with this? It would basically be muktzah. If it has no utility. So you wouldn't be allowed to go and send it. You can't go and send them rocks, and you can't go and send them pieces of wood. They have no utility on yontif, and even during the week, until you make something out of them, it's gunish. However, says the Gemara, as long as it's utility on choyl, so it's a kli gomur, Rashi says, shumesukin kol tzarchai, it's a finished product, like the black shoes in those places where they have the basar miletachas, or they've already been metzachzachit from the top, so it's all a finished product, or the white shoes, if they've already been blackened with a black paste, now you can wear it. B'chol, so you can go and wear it, also you can send it on yatv. But those things that you can't use b'chol, you can't send on yontif. So that's why Rav Sheshe said, since you can use these tefillin tomorrow morning, even though you can't use them on chol, but I'm sending it to you as a present now. It's a nice present to receive tefillin, even though you can't use it on chol, but you can use it on yontif. So that's the pshat in the Mishnah.
You had an opposite.
One second.
Tefillin mukta on
yontif? Tefillin are, l'chol, they should be mukta, because you can't go and use them. Not, you can't use them, but we're just not knowing, we're knowing not to wear them on yontif. No, isur. per se in wearing them. It's just we typically do not wear them, so therefore we're maktsa midaita. We put it out of our minds that we're not going to wear them because I have no utility. However, presumably, if a person prepares in advance, it's not a dovish malach dali iser. It's not like a hammer or a saw that I, if I prepared in advance of Yom Tov, okay, I have in mind that this shouldn't be muktzah. Since I can't use it one way or the other, and it's a klisha malach dali iser, so I cannot use it, so then it would definitely be muktzah, it can't be mechet. I'm assuming by these tefillin, since he prepared in advance, that I'm going to go and send these tefillin to my friend Yankel to go and show ahava, achva, sholem, v'reyus to increase goodwill on Yantif and make him give him a simchas Yantif. I assume in those cases there wouldn't be a muktzah because he was making it already from before.
Sir, question
Squirrel
brings down, he says.
Yes, please.
He says, well, there's no mitzvah down tefillin, and
if
he didn't want to do so, he would not violate any prohibition.
Exactly.
And then he goes, he says, our members should dispute this premise contained that dining filling on Shabbos or Yom Tov is indeed prohibited. See the Rambam, Parish of Mishnayos, and the Arabin, and the Rakhayim, with the Parish Yosef, and the Rakhayim, and the Rambam, and the Shabbos Aryeh,
etc.
How they write.
Good.
Not so simple.
Nothing is simple. But our Gemara is saying that you can wear it, although our minhag is not the word, you can, so therefore it doesn't become also. So getting back to that, was your answering your question again about the Beis Agir. Rashi said over here it's got to be an oisim by bechol shu mesukin kol tzarchai. It's totally finished. You can start wearing it. In the case of the white shoes, I might think, okay, they have utility because I'm going to send it to my friend today on Yantiv. Tomorrow morning he'll open the box and say, oh, white shoes? What big deal? I have some shoe polish. I'll smear it on. 5 minutes it'll be done. You got to do agantza beis again. It requires professional. You got to send it back to the shoemaker and he has to make agantza formula with a paste and smear it. And you got to wait, let it dry for an hour or for a day or for a week. So it's not mukhan umzul. So I think that's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda goes into those details. Not to show off that he knows how to blacken shoes. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Omer Rabbi. Tefillin hoil ba'osel liyadon, since tefillin has now come into our hands, in other words, since we're talking about the sugya of tefillin, name of Milza, let's go and talk about tefillin for another moment or two. It's Erev Shabbos. A person is wearing tefillin, like in the good old days that people wore tefillin a whole day, not just for Shachris. So he is traveling. He has tefillin on his head. He was expecting to get home in time for Shabbos, but unfortunately, as we know, there was a lot of traffic, the Shakal of Chama, and it's now becoming Shkia. What should he do? He should put his hands to go and cover them until he gets to his house. When he gets to his house, he'll remove them. In other words, he shouldn't go and carry them, but rather he should just go and cover it up. Rashi says shlo yirum, people shouldn't see. I guess people would say, what's this guy? He's wearing tefillin. Maybe it's, they think that he'll be oiver chas shalom on the moitzim reshus l'reshus. So he does a kind of cover up, and he waits until he gets home. And when he gets home, he's going to take the tefillin off at that time. Rashi says lemaisa, he's not oiver on being moitzi, because since he's wearing a derech malbush, this is at most, says Rashi, havora kil achar yad. So avor kelach yad is mutter min atoyre. It's osir midrabanon umishim bizoyen. But if he were to take off his tefillin and just leave it hanging somewhere, it would be a bizoyen. So the Chum said, you know what? Keep on wearing it. Don't carry it. Keep on wearing it. Cover it over with your hand. Walk home. Take it off when you get home. And similarly, not only a person who's traveling, hayoshev b'smadish, a person is sitting in b'smadish, he's wearing his tefillin, v'kiddush ala v'ayoyim, and it now is time for it's for Kiddush, in other words, it's Shkia, it's getting late. And same thing, Meniach Yod Alein, Achim Magil Abaysoi, and take the tefillin off at home. So same thing, either he's traveling or he's mismanaged. Frank Timon Moser, Ravuna Bered Ravika. We have the identical case, but it doesn't tell us until you get home, Hayyibaba Derech, Utfilm Beroisha, Bekiddush Olav Ayoyim, Meniach Yod Alein, so far identical. Until he gets to the first bayis of Samach L'chaim. In other words, he's been traveling outside the city. He's coming now into the walls of the city. Don't wait until you get to your home, which might be 500, 10, 20, 50 houses in. The first house that's there, presumably belonging to a Jew, take off the tefillin and leave it with him, and then you pick it up on Motzei Shabbos. Same thing in Yeshivas Medrash for Kiddush Levoyon. Meiner Gerolei Ma'achem Agiel Abayis Samachum Beis Beis Medrash. That first house near the Beis Medrash, and leave it over there. You want it, why didn't he just leave it in the Beis Medrash? Says Rashi, because the Beis Medrash was Bisod Hoya, the Einay Mishtamer. It wasn't in the middle of the city; it was out in the fields, and therefore there's no Shmira. Anybody and anything can come. You could have the Shindalits coming, the evil demons. You could have the Goyim Ganovim. You can have Klovim, Chayis. Who knows? It's not in a protected area, so you could continue wearing it until you get to the first house and leave it at the first house.
What's the problem?
The Shabbos, you probably have a var carrying.
Yeah, but no, but even carrying, if it's Derech Malbush.
Rashi said Derech Malbush is Kel Achriyat.
Yeah, but why is it Kel Achriyat? That's just the way that was, not Kel Achriyat.
During the week it wouldn't be kalachiyad, but on Shabbos it's kalachiyad because you're not supposed to be wearing it. So you're not supposed to be carrying it. Not that you're not supposed to wear it. You're right. You're allowed to wear it according to those mufarim.
Right.
However, even though you're allowed to, but since it's not the derech to wear tefillin on Shabbos, it becomes like a masoi.
Okay.
But since this masoi you're not carrying in your hands, and are you wearing it in your hand? And on your hand, it's kalachiyad. Yeah.
The first part is the Shekalav Achama,
right.
Kiddush Hayom. There's a change in the language. Is there any substantive difference between Shekalav Achama?
I don't think so. I don't know. Yeah. Toys Asagash. Oh, yeah. Let's see. On the left side and bottom.
Yes.
The Trevayim Mayer Be'erev Shabbos. The Shabbos loves Matzil. He bought there for Shekalav Achama. He threw a load of Liam Loir. He got Chiyad. If he's a caution, he came. My knock and Gabi Bobber there for Shekalav Achama. The Gabi Yeshu Be'erev Kiddush Hayom. Oh, Barry's question. Shkoyach. Keep the time of the Ravai Yishavin and my Shani Belishnek.
Right.
Lechein Nira, Ubo Baderech Veshaka, Mayri Bechoyl, Vahoyl Veshaka Chami, Yeshli the Salka, and he should take it off because it's night. Kash, Gamash, we'll learn the Laila loves man, so we know. Vim Toy, Mayri Bechoyl, Mayri, maybe or some other. Why does he have to leave it on his head? They just let it carry it. Vishlem, the Ilma Mishtal, Vilay, Miyadu, afraid it might fall down, but he, the Yosh, was Medish, knock out, the Kiddush Hayom, the Bereshav, was Mayri, Bechamash, the Shabbat, that's on. Anyway, so the Toys is asked Barry's question, why do we use the same Lashon here, Shekel of, why do we use different Lashonis? Here's the Shekel of Chaman, he says Kiddush Hayom, says Tois is because although Rashi learns both cases are talking about Erev Shabbos, the first case, Shekel of Chaman, is talking about during the week, and the Kiddush Hayom is talking about on Erev Shabbos. The only problem with that shot is, I mean, it's very nice, Shekel of Chaman, anytime you have Shkia every day of the week, Kiddush on Kiddush Hayom would only be on Friday night for Shabbos, for Yontif. But the problem is, what's the problem just taking it off and holding it in your hands? Why do you leave it on your head? Why does it say cover it up with your hand?
Yeah.
So that's Tois's kasha. Tois says, talking about Dom Mishtav Vilemiyode, we're afraid that as he's holding it in his hand, maybe he has other 12 other peklach, by mistake it's going to fall down. It's therefore to keep it okay. He put it, so keep it in.
Is that
Mibbus and Medrash? Is there a button to wear the tefillin at night?
Midrabban?
Why does he have to take it off? I mean, it's talking about fall.
He put it on during the day. So it's grandfathered in from daytime when it was winter.
Why does he have to take it immediately off?
Right. It's like wearing your tallis tonight before Shkia. Right. You put it on, then you leave it on, even though usually we don't wear a tallis gadol at night.
Exactly, 100%. So Rashi's Kamash Malon, the Laila loves the Mantzvelenu. What the Bryce is trying to tell us is that Laila loves the Mantzvelenu, and so therefore typically people would typically take it off.
Was a sleepwalker.
Typically a person would take it off. So as an Eitzah Toiva, don't take it off and hold it in your hand. Leave it on your head so that you don't have a problem of it falling out of your hand. Presumably, so you're saying, so all the time aren't you going to drop it? He didn't have his talis baitel, his tefillin baitel with him. He only has his tefillin because he's wearing it. And so therefore, if he's going to go and hold it, you know, if he drops it...
He's putting his hand over it and he doesn't have any pekwas. If he's putting his hand over his tefillin...
Kasha famas.
It's a midrash that...
Anyway, shkoyach. Thank you, Mendy, for finding the Torah. Yeah.
It's a midrash that is not mishdamer, has sifrei Torah, has sidurim, has many things.
You're thinking modern day Bismedish. It could be that
Bismedish was just a Torah.
For all I know, they had a Sefer Torah at home. We had Gemaras before that in the times of evil governments, they had to keep the Sefer Torah at home and they were only able to carry it to Shabbat, to Shul, right before Shabbos. And one time they forgot on Shabbos,
well,
they had to make a Gantz Mechitzah.
So it was empty during the week.
Yeah. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, Zok, the Gemara, Lekasha, the Mintu, Mintu, back to the Gemara. So we had a Kasha. The Kasha was that Abaye said, what you should do is take it to your home and take it off at home and leave it at home. While the Braisa says you go to the very first house, which is close to the Choyma or close to the Bismedish, Freit the Gemara Manishtan. It's a Shver on Abaye. Everything Gemara Loikash, or the Mintra, or the Loi Mintra. We're about 7-8 lines on the bottom of the Yamat. Here there is Shmira, here there's no Shmira. In other words, that home, which is the first home after the Choyma, or the first home close to the Smedish, if it happens to be a protected home, in other words, the doors are not wide open, it's not a Chorva, whatever, then if it's Taka Mokim Shmira, leave it there. Here we're talking about that, unfortunately, the first house, or two or three, that he came by as he comes into the Choyma, were also, either they are Hefker homes, the families leave it open, maybe the people are away, whatever, it's a case that there's no Shmira. Since there's no Shmira, then wait until you get home, and then you take it off over there. Pray tomorrow, Idlai Mintra. If you're telling us, we're talking about a situation where there was no Shmira, my Iria Beroisha, why does the Braisa say it's talking about that he's wearing it? What happens if you are walking on Shabbos and you find Rachmanu Litzlan tefillin on the ground, then you're allowed to go and pick them up and wear them home. And now the Gemara is talking, quoting from that Gemara in Erevin, as well as in Shabbos, Hamotzei tefillin. Rashi says, the gear says Hamotzei and not Hamotzi. Because it would say Hamotzi means a person is carrying, like Hoitzor. Here Hamotzei, a person finds, from Loshen Mitziah, he finds Tzfilin Nebuch in the street or in the field. And he says, oh yeah, yeah, what a bizoyet. Machnis and Zugzug, he can go and bring them in one pair at a time, says Rashi, by wearing the one pair at a time. Puts the shalyad on his hand, on his arm, and he puts the shorosh on his head, and he brings them in, goes back and forth a few times to get as many tefillin as there are to go and bring them back. So I see that because of this bizoyan, even if he wasn't wearing it, the Braisa and Abaye were both talking about that he was wearing it, and then Shokel of Chamor, Kiddush Olav Hayoyim. I'm wearing it, what do I do? So you said the Braisa is talking about a case that there was Shmira, and therefore you can go and leave it in the Bismedish, but those places were in the Bais of Samach of Bismedish, the Bais of Samach of Choyma. However, if there's no Shmira, you take it all the way home. Frey Timara, if there's no Shmira, why is Abaye talking about a case that he was wearing it, even if he wasn't wearing it? And there's no Shmira, then you wear it, you put it on, and take it home. Not that he was wearing it the whole day, and now he's moving it. Or the mintra machmas ganvi, or machmas kalvi, or the mintra machmas kalvi, or the mintra machmas ganvi. What does this mean? So Rashi explains, basically we have three halachas over here. We have a place where if you have the bias, which is samach l'choyma, that first house, if it happens to be mintra machmas ganvi and machmas kalvi for both, then you can leave it in that house. If, however, that house is only machmas kalvi, it's only a shmir against klovim, but not against ganovim, then you wear it all the way home. When you find it in the field, it's talking about that it only had a shmirah from klovim and not from ganovim. In such a case, you're allowed to go and wear it. Now the question is, why are we making this distinction between Kalvi and Machmas Ganvi? Says Yimur Kosmaru same, I would think the Roy Listim Yisrael Ninim. Now, Chas V'Shalom, don't read this literally. The Meiri says that in that Mokoyim where they found the Tefillin, most of the people that lived there were Jews, and so therefore, Jews were most of everything. Most of the politicians, and most of the plumbers, and most of the electricians, and most of the bank attendants, and most of the MTA. Most of the Tamid Chacham were all Israel. So unfortunately, most of the Ganavim in that place were all percentages, were also Yib. And so I would think, as long as it's Mintra Machmas Kalvi, it's in such a place, or such put in such a location, that the Klovim are not going to start up with it, that they don't have to worry about the Ganavim, because it's Chayid. But they're not going to be Mizalzel. Kamash Vulon, that unfortunately, if you have a Yib, that is a Ghana, if you have to worry about the Chas V'Shalom, he's going to be mezalzel in the tefillin as well.
Why would he be mezalzel? He's a yid. On the opposite, he'd say, you know, a Ghana for Gazan, a Baranel Chayid. I mean, he's going to see tefillin. you know,
that was the Havamina. That Taka means an Erlechi, that even though he's a kind of Metagaslan, and therefore you don't have to worry about that he's going to be the Kamash. Well, unfortunately, you do have to worry about it. Look at the last Rashi, last 3 lines. V'leimintra machmas ganvi. V'ashmin nabai. Abai told us. T'hoyu v'leimintra machmas ganvi, since there is no Shmir against Ganov. If he is wearing them, go all the way home. That first house next to the choyma, unfortunately, the shmira from kelovim, but not from ganovim, wear it all the way home. If you find it wherever in the field where there is a shmira from the kelovim, then you can go and leave them there. Because then I'm going to assume that the Israelim are not going to go and be mezalzel. So therefore, it comes out that we have 3 separate halachas. If you're wearing it on Erev Shabbos, and you're going to a place where the first house is a place which is mintra, both from Ganovim and Ganovim, take it off, put it in that house. If that house only has 50% of the Shemitah, that only is Mintra Machmas Kelovim, V'loi Machmas Ganovim, keep on wearing it until you get home. On the other hand, if you weren't wearing it at all, you find it out in the field. If the location in the field is a place where there's a Shemitah Mina Kelovim, do not put it on and say, well, I still want it to be a Shemitah Mina Ganovim. In this case, we will rely on the fact that hopefully they're not going to be mezalzel, and after all, I'm not wearing it. So to go and put it on, and matriach the person to go and take it on, since shmira from the kelovim we have, and we're assuming that the yidin are not going to start up with it, then just leave it there. But if you are taka concerned about the ganovim, if it's a place, for instance, where Roiv listem are goyim, or you know that the Israelim unfortunately have mezalzel, then presumably you would be able to go and put it on and carry it home. And we start a brand new perek, a very gishmaka perek. Yizhok the Mishnah, Yontif Shechol Yoyz Erev Shabbos. Yontif falls out on Friday. Leivashu Betchila BeYontif LeShabbos. You're now going to go lechatchila and cook for Yontif LeShabbos, except as the Mishnah is going to tell us in another line, unless you made a Neiruve Tavshil. So in the meantime, you didn't make a Neiruve Tavshil. Lo Yivashu, you're now going to cook for Yontif LeShabbos. Aval. Mevashel hu yontif, you're allowed to go mevashel on yontif for yontif. Ach asher yeochel lechol nefesh hu levad yosel lechem, you're allowed to go and cook on yontif for yontif. Vim hoisir l'shabbos. And if it turns out that there's too much food, Baruch Hashem, you made a lavish meal, and people said, I'm stuffed, I can't eat anymore, so you have some portions left over, you can leave those for Shabbos. But Rashi says, we're not talking about b'derech ha'aroma, that the person says, oh, I'm going to go and cook double the amount that I need for the meal, so that I'm certainly going to have 50% left over for Shabbos. Talking about you cook the normal amount for all your family members and all your archim, and nevertheless you still had 2, 3, 4 portions left over, so then you leave those for Shabbos. And now the Mishnah tells us, a person who wants to cook from Yontif to Shabbos, va'oisa tavshil mi'erev yontif, make a tavshil means make that eruv of tavshilin from erev yontif, the day before, the seimech olav, and then you can go and be seimech on it for Shabbos. Now exactly how does that work? We'll see mechem the Gemara, that because he started cooking not on Yom Tov itself, he started cooking from Thursday, right? Yom Tov was on Friday. He started cooking from Thursday. By cooking from Thursday and then putting aside part of that food for your Eruv Tavshilin, what you're saying is, I'm already starting the cooking process not from Yom Tov to Shabbos, but already from Erev Yom Tov to Shabbos. So therefore, any cooking that I'm doing now on Yom Tov is just an extension, just a continuation.
Why should that matter? Why should it matter that if you're cooking on Yom Tov?
Okay, I hear you. So the answer is that our Gemara doesn't go into the details. But in Masechtas Pesachim, back on Daf Mem Vav, the Gemara says that min ha-toira, a person is not allowed to go and cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Why can't you go and cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Because only Yom
Tov. Two different conditions.
However, says the Gemara in Masechtas Pesachim, we have a svara called Hoyel. Hoyel u'mikloi le'archem. Since until 5 minutes before Shkia, you might still get guests. And those guests will want to eat and they're hungry on Yom Tov. So you're allowed to go and cook late in the day on Yom Tov. On the basis of Hoyel u'mikloi le'archem, the archem are going to go and come, and therefore I'm cooking for them. And if they don't come, they don't have it for Shabbos. That's on the D'oraisa level. The Chacham said, once you're going to start saying that Lashon of Hoyil, and people are going to start cooking from Yontif to Shabbos, I'm afraid a person is going to go one step further, he's going to cook from Yontif to Chayil. And so therefore this is now a new Issa Rabbanan, Yontif to Chayil. So how do you deal with that Issur? The way you deal with that is if you make an Eruv of Tavshilin from before Yontif, you are showing that the only way that I can go and cook on Yontif, not for Yontif, but for another day, because I made my Eruv Tavshilin, if I'm able to go and cook for Shabbos. However, if it was from Yontif to Chayil, then I wouldn't be able to go and cook. So this Eruv Tavshilin is a reminder, it's a mnemonic device to go and remind yourself. And the Gemara is going to bring that right after we end the Mishnah. Zochras Yom Shabbos Akadshoy, since it's Yontif, you might forget that the next day is Shabbos. To go and remember, we go and do the cooking from before. Shabbos! So we'll remember, do it from Yontif to Shabbos, but not from Yontif to Chayil. You'll see mentioned the Gemara, we'll go into greater detail. So if you started off from Erev Yontif, you see that his mindset is, I'm cooking for Shabbos, and I'm starting already from Erev Yontif, so then you can continue, Vait v'Seimech Olav, you can be Seimech on that to cook Vaiter on Yontif. It's not enough to have one tafshil, but two tafshil. One tafshil is enough. Now, Gemara doesn't go in today. I believe the Gemara tomorrow says that you have to put away not only a tafshil, but also something which was baked. So you have one baked item and one tafshil. Mishavin, and both agree that bedag ubeya shalab, a person who's making a fancy fish, and just not just cooking the fish, but smearing on top of it eggs, to make it look more fancy, I guess more edible and more tam and more flavor, whatever. Change state of shilin. Even though we would normally think of putting on the egg as just basting it, or just putting on soy sauce, or just putting on echweis, whatever you like to put on as condiments or spices, but if mice you're putting on an egg. Since it's an egg, it has a status of state of shilin. So even Beishami would say this is genug. You don't have to have a separate tafshil. Now, what happens if the person accidentally or on purpose on Yontif ate up the Erev Tavshilin, and there's no Erev Tavshilin left to Cholay? Or Sheavet, or they lost it. Where's that Erev Tavshilin? I can't find it. Then you can't use that any longer for purposes of cooking from Yontif to Shabbos. However, even if you ate most of the Erev Tavshilin, but at least something left of it, you can continue using that as a basis to cook for Shabbos. Where do I know this from? Now, when the Gemara says Menani Mili, Rashi immediately points out that this is not a Diraisa. This is the Rabbanan. See Rashi in the third line from the top, Menani Mili, Lav Dafka Mikro Yalif, even though the Gemara is going to bring Psukim, we don't really mean Diraisa. Teruv Tavshilin the Rabbanan. Where the Chachamim, some sort of asmacht, exactly. They want to hang their hats on something. Where do they find some sort of remes, some sort of asmacht in the time? So Yimor is going to bring two such asmachtas. Shmuel said, Yamakro, Zachas, Shemus, like Hachi. Zochreyu, Me'ach, Shebol, Hashkichoy. Remember Shabbos because you could come to forget it. What does it mean you can come to forget? Who's going to forget Shabbos? But Rashi says that since this Friday, uncharacteristically, you're eating these huge sudois, you're making like a festive party, so therefore you might forget to leave anything for Shabbos k'day kvoidai, because you want a yontif. Oh, you go and take out your finest cutlery and finest crockery, and you make three different types of kugel and four different types of meat and fish and this and that, and you can almost Shabbos almost falls by the wayside. So therefore, to remember, I said, do a Shabbos Kedish. You start already cooking from Erev Shabbos, from Erev Yontif, that is, to remind everybody, don't forget, after this Yontif comes, I grace your Shabbos. Let's look at the first of the narrow lines of Rashi. V'zachreyu mi'ach shabbo l'ashkichay. Zok Rashi, ki shabbo Yontif Erev Shabbos. Yontif falls out on Friday. Korev Shabbos shakeach. Yontif chas shom Shabbos might be almost forgotten. machmas yomtiv. Shemar bebesuda seyoyim. You're going to have a festive yomtiv meal. Ben meniach leShabbos kli kavoida. He might leave only a pittance for Shabbos. Vezircha kosev lezochri. Remember zochor as yom Shabbos. Mushem arav ruk tavshila nimshes zoychay. Then that's a nice remembrance, a nice way to remember it. Shari eni oisel machmas Shabbos. Why did you make the ruk tavshila? Because the Shabbos. Oh, don't forget Shabbos is on the in another few hours of Shabbos, and therefore go and make sure to have enough food for Shabbos. So, Kimar, my timer, what is the reason? Now, the Chayra, what do you mean my timer? We just explained the reason. So again, Rashi explains, next Rashi, my timer. Lama toknu Erev, krovale la be'erev mishtoi. We already said that the Pasuk is not talking about Erev. For la be'erev mishtamina, it's only a smachta ba'almahu. Rashi is repeating again that this is not a smachta like Rashi said before. And v'chi asa kroy, you know where the pasuk is coming to tell you the kiddush hayoyim asa kiddushani b'psachim zachreyu al hayayim erev is midrabanan umar rol l'sakin. Why did they find that it's so important to go misakin? Then the guys back.
No.
Okay, fine. Okay, no problem. So zokti yimara omar rava kidei sheyivra mana yafal l'shabbos umana yafal l'yantiv. So that when you are preparing, next Rashi, Omer Rav Kadesh Yivra, Mitreshim Ma'arev, since he made the Eruv of Shilin, Zoichas Shabbos, he remembers that besides Yontav, there's also Shabbos, Veina Machale Esakoyel Yontav, so he's not going to use up all the food that he prepared from Erev Yontav and on Yontav for Yontav, but rather, Ubayr Manalizeh, Manalizeh, he's going to set aside nice portions for Shabbos by starting the cooking already on Erev Yontav and making an Erev Tavshilin and reminding himself and telling everybody else, you know why we're making the Erev Tavshilin? To be able to cook for Shabbos. Oh, so make sure you go and cook two major portions, the Yontav portion and the Shabbos portion. So this is a good way of reminding yourself of doing it. So the Azay Zogt Rav Pshat Rav Ashi Yomer Kedei Sheyomru Ein Oifem Yontav LeShabbos. This is what we spoke about before when we were learning the Mishnah in response to Barry's question, that Rav Ashi is not looking so much for the Kedusha Shabbos. Rava is focusing on Shabbos. Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos shouldn't be forgotten. Rav Ashi says, I'm worried that we're going to forget about Yontif. What do you mean you're going to forget about Yontif? If you're going to allow cooking on Yontif for Shabbos, then you're opening up the floodgates and people are going to say then you can go and cook from Yontif to Chayil. Because after all this extra food we're not eating on Yontif, we're eating on Shabbos. So you see a lot of be matriach and meichen on Yontif for Shabbos. So maybe you can matriach from Yontif to Chayil. That's why they said, you know what? Put away an Eruv of Tavshilin and this will remind you, for Shabbos, yeah? And for Chayil, nisht. So this is the second reason. So Barry, hopefully that addresses your concerns. How does the Erev Tavshilin help? Either because it strengthens your resolve to get good portions for Shabbos, or it strengthens your resolve to only cook from Yontav to Shabbos and not from Yontav to Chayil. Tonight, going back to our Mishnah. Oizu Tavshil me Erev Yontav Soymich Olav L'Shabbos. Bishlam the Ravashi the Yomakili Shiyomru Ein Oif me Yontav L'Shabbos Hainu me Erev Yontav. Hainu de me Erev Yontav in be Yontav light. I can understand the concern of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is concerned about the Kedushas Yontif, that people are going to start cooking from Yontif to Chayil. So that's why you say, even for Yontif, don't start your cooking on Yontif, start your cooking from Erev Yontif. So this will remind people, Yontif, you got to minimize, do whatever you have to do for Yontif, but not for Chayil. What about Shabbos? The Eruv Tavshil allows you to do for Shabbos. But otherwise, don't cook imzist for no reason on Yontif. El Rava, my Erev Erev Yontav, afilu Yontav Nami. Why don't you go and say that? Put away the Erev Tavshilin on Yontav itself, and people will say, "Why are you putting away an Erev Tavshilin? Because I want to have more Tavshilin for Shabbos, and that's why I'm making the Erev to show everybody tomorrow is Shabbos, and therefore this symbolically identifies that we already started cooking for Shabbos, and we're going to do a lot of cooking for Shabbos. So you don't need to put this away on Erev Yontav, to an Yontav." So to Einachanami, you're right. Mitzad Hasvarim, Mitzad Ikar Adin, we could put it aside on Yontav itself. Gzeirah Shema Yivsha, we are concerned that he might either Peshev, of course, sounds like amazing, but it could be that he'll be negligent, he'll be forgetful. Even today, always before Yontav, when you have such, when you need Erev Tavshilin, all the Moises send out reminders, and they put on the magnets, they put on the refrigerator, and they send out emails, and they announce it in shul, because people will tend to forget. So therefore, we tell him, make it on Erev Yom Tov, so hopefully he won't forget and won't make one. Although until now we had Shmuel bringing a makar for this asmachta from the pasuk Zochar Shem Shabbos Kachoy, we find in a brisa a different makar. It's interesting that you find that Shmuel, of course, was in Amoira, and now the Gemara says, but I have a Tana. And Rashi comments on this, but Rashi doesn't ask it as a question. Rashi just simply says, we find this in other places as well. You see, Rashi with Tana Maisele Mahacha.
Yes.
It's about 60% down the Amid. Tana Maisele Mahacha. Kein Derech Shitas at Talmud. You find this in other Gemaras. Kishemaschilin Amiroim Lahitzi Tam in Amikra. When the Amiroim come and say, I have a basis for an Asmachta from a Pasik. V'yeshtana shel Braisa Lomid Oisim Mokam Acher. And then you have a Braisa that comes and says, I have another Pasik from another source. Nokerochi. That's what the Gemara brings. First the Amoira, and then brings the Tana. Kalaymar, Hamiruam lamdu mikan, but Tana lamdu mikan. The Meiruam found a mokum for the Asmachta from one pasuk, and the Tanaim from another pasuk. Doesn't bother Rashi, you know. L'chayre, I'm sure bothers Barry, and I'm sure it bothers other people. Once you have a Tana, what do you need a Meiruam for? You have the Tana, so, but that doesn't bother Rashi. I assume the reason why it doesn't bother Rashi is because we're not learning out of Dvar Halacha, we're just learning an Asmachta. So for an Asmachta Remes, I can find Asmachta here, I can find Asmachta there. They're not Soser each other. Each one of these Asmachtas is lovely, it's fine, fine Pasuk, and you can hang your hats on. Anyway, so what is the Braisa? Tana Maisel Macha says in the Pasuk by the Mon. As you know, the Monday was a double portion on Friday, no Mon on Shabbos, and so therefore Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael, Eisa Shetoyfu Eifu, whatever you intend baking for tomorrow, bake today. Whatever you want to cook for tomorrow, cook today. Because tomorrow there's not going to be mon, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a double portion today. Do all your preparations today. Now, of course, this is talking about a regular Friday. Mikan Omer Rebbe Lazar, the side says Rebbe Lazar, Ein Oifen Ela Al Ofer De Mevashon Ela Al HaMevushal. Now, what is the raya from this pasuk? It seems that the raya is because of the it's very verbose. Eitzah shetoyfu, eitzah shetvashel b'shem. Rashi says the chayit should simply say in the pasuk, Hayoin afu u'mishlu. Today, Friday, go and cook and go and bake. What? Ashetoyfu, eitzah bashel b'shem. So therefore, this was a remez that there will be certain Fridays that you won't be able to go and cook for Shabbos unless you do a tikkun, a takana, such as Eruv Tavshil. So you look at the Rashi, Eisa Shetoyfu Eifu, says Rashi Avalei Lemichtav, Hayoy Mafu, Ubishfu, El Remesu, Shiesh Lechoyom Shishi, Shein Oifin Letzorech Mokar. Today, this Friday, when they were collecting the mon, today you can go and cook, you can go bake. But there will be Fridays that you won't be able to cook and you won't be able to bake, unless you put aside an Eruv Tavshil. When will you be able to go and bake and cook on that Friday, which is a yontif? If you already set aside a bishul or dover ofui from the day before, then you'll be able to go and cook and bake. Tanabat, Maisib Rablezer, Shah Yoshi Bidoyish Koli. It is a very interesting story. Maisib Rablezer, Shah Yoshi Bidoyish Koli, Yad Kuloi, Behilchis Yontif. It was on Yontif itself, and Rablezer is darshaning in Hilchis Yontif on Yontif. And time is moving on, and so finally some of the Talmidim said, I gotta go home, I have to go and eat the Yontif meal, I have to join my family. And Yotzakas Rishoyna, Omar and Rablezer said about those people that left quote unquote early, the first group, Halolu Bali Patz. What says Bali Patz? And Rashi says, these are the owners of Chovyois Gedoylois, large barrels, presumably of wine. That what they have prepared a real mishteh, and that's why he wants to go home, because they're going to eat and drink and be merry, and this person is really not interested in learning. That's why they're leaving early. Kashnia Omar, those that waited a little bit longer and then left, he said, Halo li bali chavies. These are not chavies gedoylois, these are just regular barrels. Kashlish is a third group, Omar lo li bali kad. Gemara in Masechtas Bava Kama distinguishes between a chovius and a kad. Chovius is a very large barrel, and a kad is a smaller barrel. Kastavius Amar Loli Bali Leginin. These are people that are Leginin. That's again a smaller measure. This is more like a pitcher size, a container size. Kas Chamishis Amar Aloli Bali Koisais. These are people that want to drink with a kois. Okay, they're not the real festive party goers that drink and drink and drink, but they're going to go and take cups and drink. Now the sixth group wants to leave. Omer halolu bali me'ira. The loshon bali me'ira sounds on the surface like a very negative term, because me'ira usually means chas v'shalom, a curse. Now why are these people chas v'shalom being cursed? So there's an interesting Rashi, and then we'll look at the Maseiros HaShas. Rashi's right before the wide lines. Halolu bali me'ira. The Besmedish really looks empty. Until now, 5%, 10% left, and another 10%, another 10%, another 10%. But once the Kashishis leaves, we barely have a minion left in this big Besmedish. It's really going to look terrible. So he used a strong Lashon Bala Me'ira. However, if you look in the Maseiros HaShas, Oiz Beis at the top on the left hand margin, all the way, well, you don't have it there. You have it probably parallel to the Gemara. Bali Me'ira, you have it over here. Vosok to the Maseiros HaShas. So Orach Be'irach Pat Pirish, probably on the Patson. You have it. You don't have Maseiros. Yizok Tazei, Bali Me'ira, Ein Lehem Klum. These people are going to be left with nothing. Like Kaimu Simchas Yantar, since they left so late, they're not going to really be able to enjoy the Yantar. V'loi Mitzvah Beis HaMedesh, Shekvar Yatzu. And they won't be able to finish off the learning in Beis HaMedesh because they left prematurely. So they're going to be like Kareach Mikan, the Kareach Mikan, and Nebuchadnezzar. At least the other guys are eating and feasting. The people that are still staying, they're learning Gishmak. These people are the Shishis, they're losing out on both ends. And now he looked at those that were remaining there in the Beis Medrash, the few remaining loyal Talmidim, and now their faces are turning green and blue and yellow, and they said to themselves, uh-oh, now he's going to say something negative about us. He said, I'm not talking to you. All those people that left, they're menich chai oilam, learning Torah, and they're having a good time and eating and drinking. And of course, the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, but there's a din of oinik yontif, there's a din of simchas yontif. That's the mitzvah sayyayim. The Gemara is going to ask that in a moment. V'shas p'tiras, and p'tiras means when they left. We don't mean chas v'shalom de p'tira. When finally the shir ended 8 hours later, and everybody is going home. Om lehem, lechu ichlu mashmanim, usu mamtakim, v'shulchu monois le'enochen loy, ki kovish hayoim la v'neinu, v'alti otzvu, ki chedvas Hashem hi mo'uschem. So he's telling them, go home and enjoy now Simchas Yontif, eat wonderful foods, drink gishmaka drinks, and send monois, like we had in our Mishnah, send portions of food. Le'ein nochem loy. The Gemara is going to ask in a moment, who are the ein nochem loy people? Kikodesh yom la'neinu, today is a great, great Yom Tov. Ve'al te'atzu, don't be sad. Kichedvas Hashem yi'uschem, v'chedvas Hashem, the happiness of Hashem, hi mo'uschem, that's your strength. The Gemara is going to explain what we mean by chedvas Hashem, hi mo'uschem. Zok Gemara, omama. Shelly, he's on the telephone, so he doesn't see us. He's saying it's Menichem Chai Oilam. Everything we're blessed with the time of the Yom Simchas Yontif Rishus. Simchas Yontif is not an absolute Chiyuv, it's Rishus. Why Desanya? We have an interesting machlokes Reb Elazar and Reb Yeshua. Both of them focus on the fact that there is a stira in the Psukim. Gemara is going to bring the Psukim in another moment. One Pasuk says, on Yontif, Atzeres Lashem Alekecha. The other Pasuk says, Atzeres Tia Lochem. The Atzeres is supposed to be devoted and dedicated to Hashem. And here it says, Atzeres is for your own purposes. So, Astir. The sign, Reb Elazar Oyman, Engla Di Yodom Yontif, Ela Oichel Veshoise, Oyoshe Veshoine. You got two choices. Choice number one is, you, the Gashmiest aspect of things, you eat and you drink and you're merry. Or, abstain, not totally, not don't fast, but Yosh Vishayna, dedicate the Yontif to learning. You have now extra time. You don't have to run to work. Go and use it for learning and Yishmak and more learning and more learning. Rav Shua Omer, Chalkeu, split it up. Chetzil Hashem, Chetzil Lachem. Half of the time, Taka, go and use extra time for learning, but half of the time, use extra time for feasting, the Kavod Yant. Both of them learn the same pasuk, like we just said. Because okay, sad. There seems to be a contradiction in terms. It's either or. Either kul Hashem, either learn the whole day, yoyshev v'shoyne, oy kul lachem, or oy chul v'shoyse, one or the other. And that's why Reb Lezer got upset at the Talmidim. He said, I thought that you're all on my side, the Kul Hashem people. And I see that you prefer the Kul Lachem, even though this is permissible, it's Rishus. But wouldn't it be better that you fill yourself with Torah, which is Chayish, Chay Olam, instead of filling yourself with Chayish? And therefore, you are allowed to be festive and have a Yom Tov meal with all the trimmings, but at the same time, dedicate more time for learning and for davening, Lashem. Good, so that's Reb Lezer, and that's why we understand now his behavior, if you will, at the time of the drasha, the shir on Yom Tov. And now we get to the rest of the pasuk says, Ein Nochem Loi, send monies to Ein Nochem Loi. Who are these Ein Nochoins? Amrav Chizna Mishlo Yinech Eruv Davshilin. Person that didn't put away an Eruv Davshilin, so he cannot cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. He says, uh-oh, I can't cook. Send them over monies. He couldn't put away. Now, why couldn't he put away? On the surface, it would sound like he didn't have enough food or he didn't have enough money. Rashi says, the second wide line, there was a major potential loss. He was busy the entire Erev Yontif looking for X, Y, or Z. In modern terms, they would say he had a closing that closed, you know, only 10 minutes before Yontif or something. One comment, and that is, I won't be here starting from today until after Yom Tov. We said that on Matzah Shabbos we're going to have a shir at 10 o'clock. We're going to have to make it earlier. My wife told me we have other plans, so we're going to have to start the shir at 8:45 in Matzah Shabbos. Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock. Tomorrow night, which we have to first end the fast. I don't want people fasting the whole night, right? So people eat, be merry, and then 10 o'clock, Chalkei Hashem, Chalkei Chatzil Chem, Chatzil
Boya. Sunday night, 10:15.
10:15, right. In your honor. But the Matzah Shabbos mission, 8:45.
Okay. I'll update the schedule.
Sunday morning?
Good convention. Sunday morning is going to be 8:15, I believe. Gary is Zagavinch. Good convention. Brother Shai, forgive me if I didn't treat you with respect and give you all the honor that you deserve. Okay, Zagizit. Miley Nachaloi, so either he forgot to put an Erev Tavshilin, or he wasn't able to put an Erev Tavshilin, says Rashi, because he was just too busy the whole day. He just barely came home from his store, from his business, 10 minutes before Yom Tov. He was looking for his Aveda. The reason why probably Rashi says about the Aveda instead of that he came home for business, because Rashi probably feels he should have come home, you should have closed your store, closed your business.
It has no schedule, you don't know where you're going to find it.
Exactly, but the Aveda, you're looking up and down, back and forth.
If you find it, you don't know.
Exactly. So, unfortunately, hopefully he found it at the end. Somebody that knew, and he should have, and he could have, and anybody didn't. You don't have any chiyuv to go. Not that you're not allowed to send them, you can still send them money, but there's no obligation to send money to someone who knew and should have and could have and would have but didn't. Let him learn his lesson for next time. Mike, what does that mean? It says Reb Lezer, Reb Shimon. Bonai, Levu Olai, the Kidshu Kedusha Sayyim, the Hamino B, Vani Poi Reya, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu to Klai Yisrael. If you have money to be able to go and buy all the wonderful things to Shabbos and Yom Tov to come out, what happens if you don't have enough money? Levu Olai, go and borrow on my credit, Kidshu Kedusha Sayyim, the Hamino B, Vani Poi Reya, Mir Hashem, I will go and pay back. Now, on the surface is a beautiful Gemara. We have a big, big problem. Because there's another Gemara, famous Gemara, Asei Shabbat Chachoyl, V'altis Tarech Lebriyoiz. Asei Shabbat Chachoyl. If you don't have any money, then eat only eat sardines. Only eat a piece of bread and butter. Don't eat more than that. So here it says the Gemara, Luv Yolai. So it's not my kasha. This is the bottom choices. If you hold the Yom, Asei Shabbat Chachoyl, V'altis Tarech Lebriyoiz. Hanimili, Kishein Loi Lefroya. He cannot go and pay. What do you mean? If he can't go and pay, so then isn't that the case of Bani Bonai Levu Alai? Rely on me and I'll pay. So what's the answer? So you notice before that Lefroy there's an Aleph, and that Aleph is Vilna Goin, he changes it. Says Vilna Goin, Kishein Loi Mimi Lil Vais. He has no one that he can borrow from. Either nobody wants to lend, maybe everybody else is poor and they don't have any money to lend. Everybody else is stingy. Maybe he lives in a place there, no other yin. Whatever it is, he has nowhere to go and borrow. So I would think if nobody's willing to lend the money, he should act as a peddler and he should go and go from door to door. Can you please give me this, give me that? And so you should have for Shabbos. No, I say Shabbat Chol, don't go and try to go and act as a peddler and a solicitor. Just make Shabbat Chacham. But Avada, if there are people that you can borrow from, Hashem says, Vani Pariyam.
Borrow, but don't snore.
Don't snore. Right. I was looking for the word snore. Good. This is the same Mandi Yoma that we had before, Rabbi Yechim Shimon Blazer Reb Shimon. So we bring a slightly related, but slightly unrelated memra. The person wants to have a kiyum in his nechasim. He shouldn't lose his pants. Yitaben Ador. So we're talking in an agricultural society, or we're talking about a person that owns a house that has a yard in front or in back, and he wants to make sure that nobody steals his property from him. He should go and plant an Ador. What is an Ador? An Ador was a major, major tree, an Elam Choshevu, twice like a sequoia tree out in California, in San Francisco, whatever, where this is so notable that people come from far and wide with their iPhones to take pictures and to stand next to the tree, and you probably charge for it. It's a tourist attraction. It's a very, very choshevu tree. And as a result, if the owner of this property, for instance, goes on a business trip, he doesn't have to worry about that other people will come and steal the property and say, you left it and you were mafker, or you sold it to us. Rashi says, because there are tons of edim that it belongs to that person, because everybody in town knows that Mr. Smith owns this property. This is such a famous tree. And if he taka sold it, there would be a kol yoitze, everybody going, did you hear? Smith sold this tree. Wow. Who did he sell it to? He sold it to Jones. Really? I didn't hear. Oh. So therefore, there is a kol got. So you look at the Rashi, fourth wide line. Yitze ben ador, Rashi ulan, down the bottom, yitze ben ador. Even choshevu. Yesh lo shem le meirochik. Everybody knows about this tree and about this property. For in the ploini yesh le ador misadeu. Smith, he has his ador. Wow! When we toich kach, he nikris al shemoy. Everybody knows this is Smith's farm, Smith's property. Then hoylich medina se yom, if he travels away, ubo achim hechzik bo, yesh lo enem har bishoy shaloy, they'll say, get out of here! This belongs to Smith. He's been here for years. It belonged to his great-grandfather. If he sold it, everybody would know. In Bismedish, everybody would talk. Did you hear the news? What's the news? Smith sold his farm. Really? Who did he sell to? He sold to Jones. Anyway, that's the way he's going by Nechavsta, Yitay and Adam. Shinema, like it says in the Pasik, Adir Bamoroin Hashem. What's the Raya Adim Amar Hashem? Says Rashi, because the word Adir is the Lashon Kiyum V'chozek. When we learn Adim Amar Hashem, we mean that Hashem is all powerful, the ultimate authority, has all the power, the
omnipresent.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was looking for. Omnipotent. He has all the power in his hands. Adim Amar Hashem. See here, too, that person who has this Ador, he has his nechosim in his hands, nobody will steal it. Inami, there's another remez, because the word Ador comes from the word, similar to the word Adorah. What means Adorah? Kishmei, like the sound of the word Adorah. Kire Amri Inchi, my Adorah, the Kaimi Lidori Dori. This is apparently a tree that lasts for 100 years, for 200 years. It doesn't easily get toppled with a hurricane or something like that. And it stays for Dori Doris. So you go and plant such trees, those are Adorah for Dori Doris for many generations. Tanna Mihochi. It's not stolen. And the peiros will last. So Gemara, in which respect do the peiros last? So Rashi says, because this has an interesting scent or stench and causes the animals and even the worms and the bugs to go away. If you look at Rashi, the list of three lines, Rashi Lidanamai, I don't know what that means. What's Perishtam Mishtam? Yesh Mufarshim, Shenoitan Oise Ale Gvulim, that you go and plant it on the Gvul, on the boundary, on the border. Vyeshla Enofim Harbe, Vuhul Esoda Legeder. So that's what it means, Perisa Mishtamrim. Nobody's going to come over the border to steal your fruits because you have this man, not this man made, this God made wall in the form of these major branches and major flowers or whatever, leaves, and people can't get through. That's how it's Mishtam. Valimir, Shumin Esav Choshuv. A fancy choshev esav, v'zari misarav b'peiros, and you plant it together in a peiros orchard. Ubesoda loven kamar, so the loven is really among tefuah. Umishtameris hatefuah min haknima v'hateloyim, and that preserves and protects the tefuah from knima and teloyim, all different types. Teloyim, of course, are worms. Knima, I think, some other types of bugs or whatever. Shereach oisei zera mavrichon v'hargon. It's one of these. God made bug repellents. Kid Omer Bachoimtin, a choimit is typically a snail. Shemeshamra Tvuam Sakhsham. Anyway, so you put out an ador in your field, it's gonna protect it, people won't steal it, and it's gonna be great for purposes of the pears. Finally, turn up Khifa Ahmed Rabinoi Khoiza. This Gemara, of course, is tomorrow's Gemara. What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. How many times does the Gemara on that same day? On Kippur. Can you imagine on Yom Kippur we're going to learn the Gemara that all the mezainis that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives for a person are set aside ready from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, Chutz Mitzvah Shabbos, etc. Mitchum will learn that tomorrow night.
After Yom Kippur.
After Yom Kippur. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
10 p.m.